Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
Love a parade. 108, this is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, the slush capital of the world. Good grief. My luck, we got tickets to Hamilton tonight. Bad night to be wearing your really expensive shoes downtown. Lou Manfredini, our friend Mr. Fix-It, will say hi a little later on. I've got a couple of weather-related housewarming questions for him, and questions about how to raise money on the webpage that I have for Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. It's a fundraiser to fight breast cancer and do research for that, and I'm going to be doing one of those Dancing with the Stars types things. I was dancing again yesterday with my friends from Arthur Murray.
There's some samples of you dancing online, right?
There are. And I want to say something about this, because dancing is like life. Are you guys writing this down? Dancing?
Let me get my pen.
Dancing is like life. If you attack it with confidence, I'll pause because I know you're trying
confidence.
To... Confidence. If you dance with confidence, you will do well. If you live your life confidently, you will be successful. I was told this on my way out after telling Danny, my dance instructor, that I pretty much suck. And she gave me a little kind of virtual slap across the face. And she said, hey, wait a minute. You come in here twice a week for a few hours a week. You're practicing at home. Don't come in here with that attitude or that's what you will be. She said, you're doing fine. I've always felt she's patronizing me. And she may be a little bit, but maybe to good effect, right? So she's been encouraging me. And she said, don't discount yourself. And this is about dance, but I'm thinking, oh man, write a book.
Was this before or after you'd taken the tutu off?
So I just thought I'd pass that along to everybody, that the way you sort of attack your day, attack your life, imagine yourself has a lot to do with how you'll be perceived and, in fact, how you'll be.
Okay, but I get that, and I don't mean to be mean. But don't you know people whose confidence way exceeds their abilities?
Totally.
And don't you just want to tell them?
Yeah.
To tone it down?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then imagine how much worse they'd be if they didn't believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And imagine how much better a lot of us would be if we did. Listen, I'm a man with plenty of confidence, but I'm not certainly that on a dance floor. And in life in general, I have this sort of self-effacing attitude. It's like, oh, no, not me. I'm no good. I can't do that. No, I'm not that good. And then hopefully you'll come back and say, oh, no, John, you're awesome. But that's, you know what? That's not fair, too. It's not fair to the lady that's teaching me to dance. She's really good. We're getting better. And if every day on the way out the door I go, well, you know, that wasn't very good. And that's my just sort of lowering expectations, tamping down my own ego. But she goes, no, that's not fair to you. And frankly, it's not fair to us. We're getting good at this. Now, cut it out. She says, come in here next time with a PMA, and I said, I think I will.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. You just have to keep a positive attitude.
Yeah, right, right. And listen, if people laugh at me, I'm okay with that. I don't mind that. I mean, I don't want them laughing about some things. Frankly, I don't take laughing at me very well. But on this, I know that it's not my forte, and I'll do the best I can.
And this is all about raising money for a good cause.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Lou Manfredini, I don't know if you know about this guy. He's this Mr. Fix-It fellow we got here. And he not only dances much better than I think I'm ever going to be able to.
Which is shocking.
And that bugs me. And I'm just going to take that to my grave quietly. But the other thing is, Lou's a great fundraiser. I'm going to reach out to Lou in the next hour and ask him if he'll just come on and give me a few tips on at least how do you turn that into $2,500, which is my goal. I currently have $107. And this thing's coming up. All of the details are on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. WGN King John on Facebook. Some of the aforementioned videos are there. We took another video last night. We haven't posted it yet. We're running it by the censors because it's so sexy. And then we'll post that later on. The president wants the United States to have a military-style parade, as they do in other countries. On a phone line now to discuss plans for the parade is our old friend, I.C. Morspin.
Hi, Jim. It's good to be with you, and I love listening to your show and to all the good folks there on WGN, the great talk of Newark.
We're in Chicago.
Excuse me?
We're in Chicago. This is WGN Radio, and WGN Radio is Chicago's very own WGN.
Chicago. Hey, pow, pow.
I understand the president is planning a military-style parade, right?
This will be the mother of all parades, John. It's a real rock'em sock'em.
Uh-huh. And what will it look like?
Well, we're just in the early planning stages, mm-hmm. but here's what the president wants. First, the national anthem. Everyone stands, and our glorious flag comes out with all 45 stars. That's one for each state that voted for Donald Trump.
He won 30 states, not 45.
Then we do the national anthem, sung by our greatest singers, Beatlemania.
And then the parade?
We start with the Rockettes. It's the off-season. I'm pretty sure we can get them.
Did he say he wants the Rockettes or Rockets, as in, you know, military rockets?
Well, he wants both, right? I mean, how great is that? So we go with dancing girls, hundreds and hundreds of the best Rockettes.
And then?
Brinks trucks with the gold from Fort Knox.
This is a military parade, right?
The back doors are open on the trucks. And who's guarding that gold, John?
The military?
Jared. So we go Beatlemania, Rockettes, Brinks trucks, Jared.
Then the Army?
Then the Army. Then the Air Force does a flyover.
Oh, people love flyovers. So you got the Army, then the Air Force.
Then the Navy comes by. We get, say, 1,000 Jeep Wranglers with ropes, and they're pulling an aircraft carrier named after Ivanka.
We don't have an aircraft carrier named after Ivanka.
We will, and he christens it the SS Ivanka. Boom.
Love that.
Each of the Wranglers is loaded in back with boxes of Trump steaks. And we get a bunch of Santa Clauses because, John...
We know why.
The Santas are tossing steaks to the crowd, right? And yelling, Merry Christmas.
I hope the parade is shorter than this conversation.
Big finish here, John. We get, like, hundreds of tanks, like 900 tanks, and they fire at a giant Kim Jong-un balloon.
Nice!
Like a pinata, right? And guess what's in it?
More Trump steaks?
More Trump steaks. And everyone gets some more steaks, just like they do in France.
Okay, well, I've got to get back to Earth now.
And then at the end, we get some clowns for the kids, and maybe some elephants, and then the vice president comes out on his Schwinn bicycle.
I don't know what the parade's going to look like. They say the highest levels of military are putting this thing together along with the Trump team. You know, I thought, well, that's kind of horrifying and scary and unnecessary and silly. But then when you think about it, what's the Air and Water Show? That's a military parade. The Air and Water Show is awesome because our military jets are wowing a million people up and down the lakefront. And they do that all across the country. And people seem to think that's pretty swell. So I'm wondering if there's a way to do it that would seem not so, I don't know, Trumpy. You know, after the Gulf War, 1991, it was June. I was reading a story about this online last night. It was, I think, the New York Times. And they said the last time the United States did a military parade was in June of 1991 after the Gulf War.
Yeah, there was one here in Chicago. I covered it. It was right down, I think, Michigan Avenue or Columbus. It's a massive parade here. So they had them around the country.
So I'm trying to get my head around this, like the pros, the cons, the ups, the downs. You know, if I could find some way to imagine it without it being a sort of unauthentic stamp of approval on the president, would I be up for one? If we said, hey, we're going to have a military parade every 4th of July or every Veterans Day or Memorial Day or something like that. I don't know.
Well, apparently the president fell in love with the idea for the Bastille Day parade in Paris.
Yeah.
When he was there. But I think more of the, I mean, I studied Soviet politics, and I think of the Russians and the North Koreans, you know, showing off their military might. That was my first thought. But his impetus was this, the French, the Bastille parade.
Well, the thing that comes to mind for me are two things. When you think of these military-style parades they have around the world, they're always of some sort of dictatorships, which is sort of showing their power to the world and their people. Hooray, we don't have enough food to eat, but at least we got that. And by the way, we don't have any choice, right? There's just that. And it also strikes me as the act of countries that are relatively insecure. So the United States, let's just forget how much fun it would be to go to an Aaron Waters show on steroids. But in my estimation, the United States doesn't need a military parade. We have one. It's called Every Day on Earth. Our ships are everywhere. Our planes are everywhere. Our bases and personnel are everywhere. Nobody doubts or doesn't know about the United States' military might. So would I enjoy watching it go down Michigan Avenue and cheering it on? I don't know, but it sure doesn't seem necessary. And it seems to me to be just a little bit too much like places on Earth that are either authoritarian or insecure, and I don't like the comparison of either. You know, little peeny France. Well, I don't know why France is doing it. It's maybe their legacy and history, but maybe France is also just trying to, you know, pee in the tall grass with the big dogs, as they say. same with China. You know, it was not a first world power. And I could see them as they got bigger and stronger, kept flexing their muscle. Look, Mom, I've been lifting weights. Look how big my arms are now. That's what these things feel like. In the case of Kim Jong-un, he's got a fake suit under there and his muscles aren't even that big. And then the United States wants to get in that song and dance. We'll win. I know. And by the way, what would be in there? Like tanks and planes and guns and military personnel? That's literally what they had when they did these parades in 1991. Steve, I don't remember them, but I watched the video.
Yeah, it was kind of, the one here, and I believe there were several around the country, but, you know, it was almost a response to the lack of a parade after the Vietnam War. And that these soldiers came home, and then the thinking was, well, we're not going to do that again. We're going to welcome these
always
guys home.
Always welcome them back.
Colin Powell led the parade here in Chicago.
How about that?
Yeah.
Even a one-sided war. I mean, it wasn't World War II or the Vietnam War that we came home from.
Yeah, like I said, it really was kind of, I think, a reaction to the Vietnam War.
It was a Gulf War that, you know, some people were angry that we didn't continue to pursue. We wouldn't have to have had weapons of mass destruction if we had just finished the job, right? That's the way that narrative goes. But do we need one? Do we want one? We haven't won a war recently, you know? I mean, we're still fighting the terrorists, so I'm not exactly sure how or why we would position that. But when they did it in Washington, D.C. in 91, you know, the narrator was there.
And now the M1 tank. The M1 tank will fire a 1,000-pound projectile 5 miles.
And then here comes the tanks, and I don't know if you've ever seen these things up close, but they're pretty impressive. So I guess my question is, do you want a parade and what does it look like? Do you want a parade and what does it look like? Phil Vitale from the Tribune's in our studio in 20 minutes. The restaurant critic gives you some suggestions for Valentine's Day. My wife and I are actually going out to a restaurant on Valentine's Day, she told me.
Oh, you'll get a bargain.
The other day.
Yeah.
You know what she said? God bless Brenda. She said, hey, I made reservations at this place we kind of like. And I said, oh, great idea. And then I said, oh, I was supposed to do that.
Well, no, it's 2018.
Yeah, it's 1959.
Whereas in my house, yeah. I proposed that the four of us go out to dinner one day next week and suggested Wednesday.
That was it. Steve said, hey, you and I got some business to talk about, so John and Steve are going to, and then we say, well, let's just make it four. We'll double date. Our wives will come along. It'll be great. Business and pleasure. I said, yeah. He goes, what are you doing Wednesday? I go, Steve.
Valentine's Day.
How do you not know that? Men do not know when Valentine's Day is. Guys, it's on the 14th this year. You might want to write that down. It's 1:20. My number is 312-981-7200. Do you want the parade and what does it look like? Steve's going to do the news in 9 minutes. We're following Senate leaders who are saying they have a 2-year spending compromise, but it could have trouble in the House. All right, what's that all about in 8.5 minutes here on WGN?
I love a parade.
Here we go.
The tramping of feet, I love every beat I hear of a drum.
Lots of texts about the president's plan for a military-style parade. The first three are these. John, the United States is powerful. We don't need a parade to show it. How about more money for the veterans instead, John? Number three says this would be a Donald parade, the one he wanted for the inauguration. Please, no. Bill, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Bill? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's up?
Just wanted to mention the U.S. Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah, right. We imagine the Army, Air Force, Navy. We need the Marines and Coast Guard in there, too.
Well, the Coast Guard never gets any publicity. And a tangent thing is I crunched the numbers.
Yeah.
And we could have a complete defense of all coasts of the United States if we put money into the Coast Guard and modern equipment. But that's beside the point. It's not the parade. But
you want to go to the parade? If I said, hey, it's going to be downtown Chicago, would you come?
Probably not.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because if they had it, you'd be intrigued. I mean, think about that. If I said, thanks for the phone call. Bill, we'll take a couple more calls here. If I said, hey, tanks, cannons, I don't know. Would we have nukes in there? If they said on a flatbed truck, they've got a nuclear bomb, I think you'd come. That'd be pretty cool. Just make sure you know who doesn't have the button. But, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Did we show that as well? That's what they do in those, you know, in China, North Korea, the Soviet Union, Russia, they roll warheads. Those things aren't armed, but they roll the missiles right down Main Street and everybody cheers. Thanks for the phone call. This is Dave. You're on WGN. You want to go to the parade, Dave?
Well, that's a different question. Your first question was, did I want the parade? And I said my first answer would be, I support the military. The parade, no. Let's put the money toward the veterans and their benefits.
Yeah.
My son gave 6 years of his life toward the military. He's out now. But for him to get his benefits and the paper chase and all that and all the other military for the last three, four generations that are still fighting, trying to get their benefits.
Yeah. Boy, if we wanted to honor them, let's not have a parade. Let's do the boring stuff like paperwork, huh? And then page after page of texts here. I'll read a couple of those after the news. Steve's going to do the news. Also in the next half hour, Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, gives you a pretty good idea on where you might go. Hey, Steve, what day is Valentine's Day this year?
It's well, it's almost a week from today.
No, it is a week from today.
And by almost, you mean what day, Steve? What day is Valentine's Day this
Wednesday,
year?
Wednesday, the 14th of February this year.
He knew.
I thought it might have been a leap year.
Among your texts, John, if Donald Trump had a pickup truck, it would have giant wheels. You know, that's what we don't have in our parade. If we're just going to roll some cool stuff down Main Street, let's get some of those monster trucks. Oh, my God, I love those things. They could just, like, go right over stuff.
Professional wrestlers.
We'll get some pro wrestlers. We'll get the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, just all of our cool stuff. Let's just roll it down the street.
All our cool stuff parade.
John, yay, parade. Let's see the world's largest military budget incarnate. It's true. I mean, for all the zillions of dollars we spent, you really don't get to see it, do you? You do not get to see it. You appreciate what it affords you, but you want to kick the tires, maybe. Hey, John, I volunteered unlike Cadet Bone Spurs, and most of us veterans say grow up. The last parade cost us about $10 million. Hey, John, did we cure cancer and I missed it? This is completely ridiculous. Hey, John, flyovers are awesome. Air shows are awesome. They really are. And one more, Meghan McCain said on The View today that if he wants to admire the military, why doesn't he visit one of the academies, or better yet, the troops in Iraq? I wasn't laughing at you, Steve. You did a real nice job there.
That's okay. You can laugh.
It's 1:38 on WGN. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Phil Vitale reviews restaurants for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us the Wednesdays that he can. That's most of them at this time, and he's in our studio again today. Hi, Phil.
Hi, John.
On Facebook, we're going to post after 2 o'clock video of that SpaceX spaceship going up and then coming down.
Coming down is it. Shoots them up.
I know. Usually them going up is the highlight, but the landing of them, holy cow!
Yeah.
On a dime.
Right.
At the same time.
Yeah. In the early days, we used to pick an ocean. We'll bring the capsule back in this ocean.
That blue thing there?
Yes, somewhere
we got
in
her.
There.
We got her.
We got 15 battleships. It's got to be close by.
When you think about that, I mean, literally, some of the Apollo astronauts would splash down and there'd be a bunch of aircraft carriers and destroyers in the neighborhood. And they go, okay, I got it. I think it's over there. Quick, everybody, fly over there. And then they'd fly over there, and then they'd be bobbing up like a cork in a bathtub. They'd pop the hatch, and then a bunch of guys would swim over and pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It was the 1960-something, 1970, and they were doing that. I was living in Hawaii. Sure. My father was in the Air Force, 20 years, career officers. Dad, we salute you. And so there we was living in Hawaii. Well, dang if they didn't do that. And it was when they would go to the moon, and when they came back with maybe moon dust on them, we didn't know if we'd have some sort of Andromeda strain going on.
Exactly, yeah.
So they would put them in like these Airstream silver metal trailers,
right?
And they make them live in there for like 2 weeks, figuring if they got any germs in 2 weeks time, it'll either get them,
it'll incubate or something.
I know. So if they can survive for several days in there, then we'll let them out, but we don't want them, you know, plaguing humanity. This is the way I remember it. So then they had a little parade of them. They'd pull the thing from, went to the base, the Navy base, and then it was going down, and it's going down the road. And we all stood there and waved to, it was John Glenn or Gus Grissom or somebody was in there, and we waved. And it's like little tiny window, and you just saw a hand, and you go, oh, my God, I just saw him. That's the way I remember it. I'm not sure that's what happened, but those are the memories of our youth, and that was what it felt and looked like to me. On Facebook after the 2 o'clock news, we're going to say, okay, what is the coolest thing we've done? Right? Like, the SpaceX thing was awesome. You and your wife watched that.
Yeah.
She flipped out.
She blew her mind just seeing that thing come back down basically on a postage stamp.
Yeah.
Just to that, controlling it to that tolerance and bringing the whole thing back intact.
Yeah. And, you know, sending a car up there.
Sending a car up there. Okay, we now have traffic in space. Thank you very much. There's some alien in an asteroid thing just honking. Come on, move this thing.
He's got his flashers on. Yeah, he's waiting to pick somebody up.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Damn it!
I'm afraid that Tesla is out there with its left blinker on. And everybody's like, oh, geez, come on.
Are they looking for a traffic reporter in space?
It's, you know, get your resume together now. Because
okay, perfect.
Before you know it.
Oh, we'll send Judy Jetson up there. And with traffic, here's Judy Jetson.
And, I'm on Mars.
I already have her playing music.
All right, kids, but that's your assignment. So what else would you add to the list of amazing things humanity has done?
Well, the internet. That is.
How do you argue with the smartphone or the internet?
It's one of those, you know, I start thinking of things that we can't imagine living without now. Like, must be once a month I look at somebody and say, what did we do before this? I'm looking for any kind of fill-in-the-blank question, and a few keystrokes away, there it is.
You know, we forget about the amazing thing about the internet is, and really this bears repeating, whenever there's something you don't know how to do, go to YouTube, type in how to, like I wear pocket squares. I never know how to fold them. Right. I went over here to a place downtown and the guy folded it for me, and then I keep it that way because I don't know how to fold them.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went, wait a minute, what am I, an idiot? I've got the internet. So I just typed in how to fold a pocket square, and there's a video pop up, and a guy who, for no profit to him, as best I can tell, certainly no cost to me, showed me how to fold my pocket square.
Right.
Or change the filter on the vacuum cleaner that's giving me fits.
Exactly.
Or fix something. It's just amazing.
Now, when you buy an appliance or you buy something fancy electronic, you get a user's manual that's a single page.
Yeah.
And somewhere in there, in big blue ink, is it's on the website.
Yeah. And by the way, those manuals that you get now with stuff like, you'll spend $800 on a thing. The manual is written by somebody for whom English is not their first language.
Yes.
That really ticks me off.
Right.
I'm like, I know you're cutting costs, but really, I could have written this thing for you for $100. I could have done it in a day. Actually, I know somebody whose wife writes instruction manuals for businesses, and you don't have to farm that out to India. God bless them. Right. They're smart. But, I mean, just have a local do that here.
Right. For all I know, they're using machines that are translating and...
Some of them read like that.
Right. And you know what? In 20 years... they'll be perfect.
Ooh, I was just going to say, voice to text. How amazing is voice to text?
But soon, voice to text to different language.
Yes, yes,
You'll just be sitting there with the whole language barrier. I don't understand. Tick, 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 tick.
We're having
conversations.
I think there is an app kind of like that,
there
Phil.
There is, but it doesn't work.
So
eventually, it'll work perfectly.
I'll have my phone here on my belt buckle, say. I don't know where it's going to be in my pocket. It's going to be hearing. You're going to be talking to me in French. And then in my buds, in real time, it will be translating it into English. Not reading it, but, you know, I won't have to read it. It'll be a voice.
Right.
He said he wants to sock you Americans in the nose.
Right.
Something like that.
Remember about 30 years ago, the Monty Python sketch where somebody had deliberately manipulated the translator, so the guy walks into a cigar store and said, I will not buy this record, it is scratched. And he's just, you know, he's going on and on to that. And then there are other, you know, there are other more comical mistranslations, and it turns out somebody did it for a gag, and that's the whole setup of the skit. If you look at translating devices now, they're not that much better, even now. But give it another 25 years, and probably they'll be perfect.
Give me a romantic restaurant to go to in Chicago.
All right. What language do you want to speak?
English.
All right. I speak fluent menu French, by the way. That comes in handy. Let's see. The first thing I'll say is don't go for the view, okay? Just skip the views. Everybody wants... Oh, I want a romantic view. You don't want a romantic view. For one thing, a romantic lake view at 8 o'clock at night this time of year is a big black blot. There's no crashing waves. You can't see it. We've never figured out how to light up the lake at night.
Oh, that's an interesting dilemma.
I want to see the lake. Well, then have lunch.
That would be kind of nice. Yeah,
but you know, after 7 o'clock, there's nothing. There's just void.
We throw lights on buildings and parks. Why not have somebody drop a beam down there?
Right. It'd have to be a pretty good beam.
Run along the beach for, like, what would the beach be? Would it be Oak Street across from the Hancock? Or the 95th story? I don't know what you think of that restaurant. Do they still have the restaurant on the 95th floor of the Hancock?
Yeah, still has it there.
Yeah. I mean, you could at least look down and see that. Anyway, okay, keep going.
So I would say places like Piccolo Sogno, which means little dream, and this, you know, this very pretty, very intimate Italian restaurant where Grand meets Halsted meets Milwaukee Avenue. Official address is, I think, 464 West Grand, but I could be wrong there. Maybe it's 464 North. Anyway, right there at that nexus. That's good. I love North Pond. Out in the right by the actual North Pond in Lincoln Park, in that building on Cannon.
Oh yeah,
in
right,
that
sure.
Building on Cannon Drive, this beautiful arts and crafts design of the building, and you know Bruce Sherman's one of the best chefs in town. It's I would go there.
Piccolo Sogno, North Pond. Keep going.
Nomi Kitchen in the Park Hyatt. There's a little bit of a view, but you're only on, like, what was it, the fourth floor or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that kind of perspective because you're looking right at the historic water tower, and you can see a little beyond that. You can see the water tower place, and there's lights, and it's pretty. And just really, it's a beautiful dining room in and of itself, and terrific food there. That's now called Nomi Kitchen because it's a little less pricey a proposition than it was, say, 5 years ago.
That's in the Hyatt, downtown Chicago, Nomi, North Pond, Piccolo Sogno. Give me another one.
The new Gibson's, the one that opened up at Wolf Point there. The actual address is on Canal Street, 233 North, Gibson's Italia. And it's basically the same Gibson Steakhouse, only with a few Italian specialties to flesh it out. But my goodness, how much money they must have spent on that space.
It's pretty inside.
It's beautiful, it's gorgeous, and then they're smart enough, they took the main dining room and this huge bank of floor-to-ceiling windows, and you're looking down, right down, you're looking straight east on the Chicago River. So you see the Merchandise Mart to the left, the 333 Wabash Building to the right, and
Wolf Point is where the bend in the river is?
It's where the north-south branches meet.
Yeah, right.
And it's right there, and it's... Even the interior is spectacular, too. I mean, they did a really, really nice job on that.
How nice to know. Gibson's Italia. Give me one more before the break.
I will give you Elske, the restaurant out on Randolph Road, 1350 West Randolph. That is by Anna Posey and David Posey. Elske is the Danish word for love. How do you pass up a restaurant named for love on Valentine's Day? I don't know. Assuming you can get in there, the food is not Danish per se. David Posey was former executive chef at Blackbird, and it's more that super contemporary but very thoughtful food. But it's the way they approach hospitality and how they make it very warm and welcoming. That's supportive. That's kind of where they're getting the Elske from.
It's 1:48. I went to a restaurant with some friends the other day. For the first time, it's a noteworthy restaurant in Chicago. I had a great time there. I love the first floor and the bar, and then we went upstairs and had a nice view sitting by a window. The dining room on the second floor I thought was real nice. What do I know? Maybe it's not such a great place. I had a swell time. I'll tell you what it is and get your review of that in a minute. Phil Vitale's in the studio. You got a question, comment? I'm asking him where some romantic restaurants in the city, maybe the suburbs too, Phil, that you like. Phil Vitale is a restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. He is Chicago's restaurant critic. Phil, the place I went to for the first time ever was Tavern on Rush.
Ah.
I like the room, I like the food, I like the service.
Nice.
What's your review of Tavern on Rush?
Well, again, I haven't
been there in a while.
Talking before, yeah, it's probably been, it's 10 to 12 years. My recollection then, was that there were about three or four more tables in the dining room than I would have preferred, so it's a little more, everybody's a little more bunched up, so I wouldn't call it romantic per se, but they do a good job on, you know, seafood, pasta, steak menu.
It looks like the traditional stuff. We had nice cocktails. You know what? I was surprised because I thought, I think this is a hot spot. It's touristy. It's whatever it is. It's going to be so loud. I don't like loud restaurants.
Right.
The night we were there, it was busy. It was not loud.
That's nice.
The volume was really comfortable. I thought the room looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel claustrophobic.
I'll have to
somebody
go back.
Maybe you will. Gejas. A lot of people say, what about Gejas? That's the romantic place of Chicago.
Right. It's one of the reasons I never mentioned it, because it's the romantic place in Chicago, and everybody knows it. But it is fondue cooking. So you start with a cheese fondue with some bread and fruit, and you can dip in there. And then you move on to some combination of chicken or shrimp or lobster and beef, and you get that. Then you're cooking in oil, not in cheese fondue, and then the chocolate fondue at the end. The chocolate fondue is so popular that some people eat elsewhere and then go there to get us for late night chocolate fondue, which is a good recommendation. It's very dark and intimate in that respect.
Cavernous, like you kind of find your way to your table.
Right. Huge wine list. So if you want to celebrate with wine, they have everything. And sometimes they have live music, usually a flamenco guitarist.
What do you think of the experience?
It's fun to do. I like someone cooking food for me when I go out to eat.
Instead of you.
Instead of a raw plate saying, you cook it. Because then if I overcook the beef, whose fault is that? This guy.
You don't get a lot of food either, do you?
I've never walked away hungry. I got to tell you, the bread and the cheese and the meat and the when you first see the raw food just right in front of you, your inclination is to go, that's not very much.
That's not going to be enough.
But you know what? You cook it, you do it, you have the dessert and all the rest of it.
I'll take that back, because now that you mention it, that's exactly my experience. But by the time we left, we were there not that long ago. We weren't hungry.
Right.
But you have to sort of buy into the concept too.
Absolutely, there's only one way to do this. It's here's your hot cheese / hot oil / hot chocolate, depending on what part of the meal you're in.
Jesus,
and it's Dunkaroo time.
Please ask Phil Vitale if Bevette's Boeuf on West Kinsey is a good place for a special birthday dinner. 2 weeks in a row, somebody's written in about that.
Yes, and I actually had it on my list. We didn't get to it yet, but yes, I like Bevette's for several reasons. I like the decor. It's more romantic than most steakhouses, which all tend to kind of follow the same decorative cliches. I like the fact they're playing jazz music overhead and not just Sinatra, Dean Martin over and over again.
Let me ask. I gotta read this name here. The glare is cutting it out. David, you're on WGN. What did you need to know?
Hi guys, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
My wife's gonna be out of town for Valentine's Day, and I made.
Don't do it, man.
A friend recommend.
I'm kidding.
You know what? We're going out tonight to. I can't even pronounce the name of the restaurant. Monteverde,
yes.
Thank you. I've got a broken leg, so basically all I can wear is sweatpants. But I don't know the dress code, and I'm having a minor panic attack.
You'll be fine. It has a very casual attitude. The food is of the sophistication. You won't feel silly if you're wearing if you're glammed up. But frankly, you'll be in the probably lower quartile, but you'll be fine in like that. And nobody looks at a guy in a cast saying, "Well, why didn't you dress up?"
Is this a good choice for a romantic?
It is. It's going to be noisy and it's going to be a little crowded, so it's not going to be romantic in terms of gazing at each other over the table and all that. But it is wonderful. Sarah Grunenberg, the chef and the owner, was chef de cuisine at Spiaggia for many years. She is the reigning James Beard Best Chef Great Lakes.
chef in
Chicago. She gets to hold that title till May 7th of this year.
What's the name of this place we're talking
Monteverde,
about? Monteverde.
Green Mountain in Italian. She makes her own pastas. You can actually see them drying on the racks in front of them. They have, it's kind of divided into pasta tipica, which is your traditional pasta, and the pasta atipica, which are her creative ones. And I'm going to tell you, you want the creative ones.
Time's up. Phil Vitale. Hey, listen, you got more on your list than I had time for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could post them on my Facebook page?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll write them down and put them up a little after 2 o'clock. Phil, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
My pleasure.
What a pleasure it is always to visit with and read Phil Vitale, chicagotribune.com/dining.
That's it.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Really big ones.
Here's John Williams.
I mean, like, going to space and back ones. Hey, it's John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Sun is shining, but it's slushy out there. You know, if you're going to shovel the area and plow and blow dry the area around an L station, can't you do the threshold to the door? A lot of us were just traipsing through the gluck, the slop, those brown, gray, salty slushes. I'm like, come on, guys, help me out here.
You're so cute since you've become a city dweller.
Yeah, I know. I love my urban complaints. I got a little more street cred when I talk like that.
Yeah, a little more.
Just a teeny tiny bit. So I'm posting on Facebook. I'm waiting for my page to load here. Elif tells me that it's up there, and I don't doubt her. I just want to see it. Because we posted the video of that SpaceX Falcon rocket going up and then coming back. We'll talk with a writer from the New York Times about what this means and where it's all going after the 2:30 edition of WGN Radio News. But we're asking you on my Facebook page, what is that sort of, like, if that's cool, what else is cool? How did I put it? It was really fantastic. Hold on, it's still loading. Here it is. Okay, that SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket with the power of 18 Boeing 747s was impressive, taking off and especially landing. Our list of other amazing things mankind has done: driverless cars, smartphones, the decoding of the human genome, seedless watermelons, flying by a moon of Pluto. What else? What's your hokey smokes? How cool is that thing that makes you proud of, awed and humbled by humanity? Every now and then, like, there'll be a doctor on TV and they're going, well, so then we spliced the gene and we were able to keep the child from developing cancer someday. And I go, ha, I'm so glad we got one of those. I mean, because I ain't one of those. I don't even know what you just said. It's amazing sometimes people who figure this stuff out and accomplish it. Everything from rockets to gene splicing to duct tape. I'm just wondering, do you have one of those pet things that you just go, I'm telling you, we take this stuff for granted. That's the most amazing thing.
I don't think we pause enough to consider GPS in our cars.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And really, in a way, all of that is sort of absorbed by your smartphone or the internet. But if you broke it out, GPS, or for that matter, voice to text. Think about that. You talk into it, it types it, and then you send it. And it's pretty good now. That technology's come really quick.
I still don't do that.
A friend of mine was doing it all the time, and I thought it was really annoying. And then I started to do it, and I'm not going back.
No, I'm not saying it's annoying. It's just not something I've learned to, like, bothered to learn to do yet.
Steve, what do you mean you haven't bothered to learn to do? Do you ever send texts?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to walk you through it?
No, there's other things I'd rather do right now, but...
Okay, so when you do a text, Steve, you see that little pen and paper icon in the upper right-hand corner, you click on that, and then you say, I'm going to send a text to John, so my name comes up, and then you hit that. Then in the bottom where it says message, you tap in there, and oh, there's the little keyboard. But at the bottom of the keyboard, next to the space bar, is a microphone.
Well, I thought that was a flower.
If you hit that and then say, hey, dum-dum, this is how you do it, those words, hey, dum-dum, this is how you do it, have now printed in my field.
Hey, John, you're bugging me a little bit.
And then you hit send.
And there it goes.
And boom. Every now and then, here's the problem with that. Oh, my God, Steve just did it. So you do know how to do this, don't you?
Well, you walked me through it, honestly. I hadn't really done it before.
You just sent me, hey, John, you're bugging me a little bit.
They all know that.
But every now and then, you'll get a text from somebody that's like 472 words. And you go, oh, my God, that's the problem with the microphone. Because if you're pounding away with your fingers or thumbs, you tend to be a little more economical. But if you can just go off, some of those text messages are like, okay, I'm not reading this. I don't know what you say. It's sort of like voicemail. Nobody wants to listen to those anymore. I'm not going to read this whole thing. So do try and be economical is my advice when you do that. Anyway, I'm King John. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. We lined all of my social platforms up at the same address now. So it's WGN King John on Facebook. WGN King John on Facebook. There's the video there. And there's also the question for you. In fact, you could call right now or text 312-981-7200. What's that? Wow, is that amazing thing? Driverless cars have to be in there. I'm not ever going to get in one, but think about all that that's doing and all the technology. I mean, I don't know, go back 100 years, 50 years, 10 years. Think of how amazing that is.
I have an awesome accomplishment by humanity, too.
Go team!
The anxiety bubble when you're texting. On iPhones only, by the way. And it's awesome because it can easily manipulate your psychology. It can either put you in a great mood or make you really anxious
for what they're going to say.
Frustrated.
Yeah. Well, if that makes if you fair enough, I guess this is like the bright side. I'm not going to judge what you think is the most amazing thing mankind has done, but I'm interested in what your thoughts, ideas, or suggestions are on this. Kevin, Violetta, Steve, do you have anything you care to add? Something that you go, you know, we shouldn't take that for granted. I guess, Steve, you said the smartphone or GPS technology. 312-981-7200. Lou Manfredini is going to say hi to us for reasons that will become obvious in just a couple of minutes. And after 2:30, a writer who has written about that SpaceX program has a few things to say to us, too. There's an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune today. We asked Tammy Duckworth to come on, and she said she would be able to, or her people did, and then they had to cancel. I'm sorry for that. But the headline on the op-ed was about her calling the president a nickname, and I thought, oh, good, somebody's going to call her out on it, because I have no problems with Tammy Duckworth. I think there's a lot of good things that she's done and represents, but I just don't like to see people getting in the mud with the president when it comes to name-calling. I just don't think that helps anybody, even if you've got a good one. But in fact, this op-ed in the paper today said that if anybody should do it, it's Tammy Duckworth. And if you do it right, it's effective. And this was well done. So Cadet Bone Spurs was a real score. Now I'm not on that page. I want to win the fight without having to play it his way, if you will. All right. Ellipsis, says take a break. All of our phone lines are ringing. I do think we have one that's open. That's 312-981-7200. We'll see what you've got in a minute. A homeless couple is suing the city. Think about this. They say their rights are violated when crews make them move their tent. More on that at 2:30. It's 2:16, and your calls are next. All right, here we go. It's 2:18 on WGN. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines, and we'll say hi to Lou Manfredini. Hey, April, it's John. You're on the air. How are you?
Very good. How are you today?
Talk to me, April. What have you got?
Well, my friends were using the talk to text, and I thought it was annoying. And then when I do it, it didn't seem like they used the right words, but I thought, oh, people will get the context. But the 5 or 7 steps that you were using seemed to me like, you know, more work than necessary. When I just press and call, hey, Suri, text Kathy and say what I want to say, that's just much easier. And she has Google, so she just says, Google, text April. And replies.
Oh.
I think that's much easier as long as you're, you know, doing talk to
Might be a couple of buttons fewer. And you can do that on your iPhone?
Yeah.
All right, there's more economical. I didn't even think about that. I've never tried that. I just, when I'm texting, and sometimes I'll start to text and then I get too wordy, so then I just hit the microphone. But either way, you know, at the end of the day, however you're doing it, the amazing thing is that little microphone picks up your voice, translates it into words and prints them out like that. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing, and it's sometimes funny because sometimes it's not the word to say.
Yes,
said,
I know.
But
I know you got to be careful. Pre-read before you hit send. Thanks for the call. Have a
Thank
good day,
you.
April. You bet. Bye now. Let's go to Neil. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Neil.
Hi, Your Lordship. Yeah, you know, none of this stuff would ever exist if there wasn't electricity and air conditioning.
Electricity and air conditioning, you know, really, actually, air conditioning or refrigeration, think about that. Think about how amazing that is.
Absolutely. All of those data centers that make all of that stuff happen are all air conditioned. And you need electricity to run air conditioning.
Thanks for the phone call. Boy, these folks are thinking about it more than I was. Hey, Mary Lou, it's John. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I love listening to you. And I want you to know, as old as I am, I have a rollator, which is a walker, and I get around just fine with that, and it's wonderful that somebody invented that.
Boy, think about that. Is that one of those things that is got a battery power pack in it?
No, mine is just a walker.
Oh, a walker. I'm thinking of a wheelchair, I guess. Yeah. but the technology in the walker is good for you, huh?
Amazing. Yeah. It really is. I hope he made a lot of money.
I bet he did. And then you see people getting around town in those wheelchairs, you know, up and down the curbs of streets and, you know, through leaves and mud and all that stuff. I mean, think about how amazing that is. Let's ask Lou Manfredini what he thinks. Lou, greatest, coolest things mankind's done. We're thinking about that SpaceX rocket that went up and went down.
That's so awesome.
What's on your list, Lou? What's the thing that makes you go
the
humanity?
Hammer.
The hammer, perhaps?
The hammer. Yeah, feel that is right. The hammer.
The drill? Drill bits?
No.
The level. The level.
No,
a stud finder.
Everything that you're all talking about doesn't get done without a hammer.
Hey, have you ever gone up with
Elon Musk? Does not put a roadster on its way to Mars without a hammer.
I'm not arguing with you, Lou. I mean, you're the man.
Well,
by the way, do you ever do this? Do you ever take the stud finder out of your toolbox and then come up to Mary Beth and go, "Hey, I found one," and it's like on your chest or something, you know?
Every Valentine's Day.
Do that, guys. It's so funny. And you know what I mean? It works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that funny.
Can you turn her mic off now?
I think she's right two in a row there.
She is right.
She's righter than we are. Lou, so you know I'm in this dance competition.
You are?
They're doing this dancing with the Chicago celebrities. It's a fundraiser.
Why are you doing that?
It's fun and it's a good cause. So I'm like, and I've been this great advocate for ballroom dancing before latched onto this thing. I've been telling people, you should do this with your spouse. Ballroom dancing is fun. I know you don't know how to do it. You will. And it's amazing how much fun you have when you ballroom dance. Do the foxtrot, do the waltz. That's just the basic box step. And then you throw in a spin and you think you're, you know, Arthur Murray or Fred Astaire. So it's all good. So they asked me to do this thing, and now I'm in it. And I've gone for a few weeks now, Lou, and we aren't even done with my two-minute routine. You know, like we haven't choreographed the whole thing yet. I know Danny, my instructor, knows it, but she hasn't been able to get me through it yet. I keep going, how did we do what? It doesn't matter if I can dance. The idea is that it's a fundraiser. And I have a goal of $2,500 on my page.
Which is too low.
I have about $107 donated so far. Somebody gave $7. I really appreciate that. Any advice for
now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, it's all about the fundraiser. And this organization, Arthur Murray, along with all of the different local organizations that they've raised money for over the years is really quite amazing.
Yeah.
So for breast cancer, it's really sort of targeted towards breast cancer research, and all the money stays right here in the Chicagoland area. And they have raised millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, when I did this a few years ago, I thought, there's no way I'm going to ever win this thing. There are some people, like there was a guy that did a backflip. I'm not doing a backflip. And he didn't even win.
Not to interrupt you, but we are doing a backflip in my routine.
Okay, well, then maybe you'll win.
I'm not kidding. There will
be
a backflip.
My point is that my goal was I wanted to raise the most money because that's the thing that's most important. But I want to share something with your listeners. Okay, first of all, who's that guy you always have on because you're like a nervous wreck about the Dow every now and then? What's the name of that company that
Bob Westrick at Private Vista.
Okay, if Bob Westrick is listening right now, he should get online right now and write a check for $2,000 from, what's the name of the company?
Private Vista.
When we get done before the end of your show, there should be a $2,000 donation from, what was the name of that company?
MyPrivateVista.com.
Exactly. $2,000 to your cause. Then everyone else that's listening, if they give $5 to this, and I want to tell you where this really happens. It's so much fun to do, right? You're going to have an awesome time. Last year, my sister-in-law, Dr. Nora Jaskowiak, who's a surgical oncologist at the University of Chicago Hospital, she participated as part of a group of doctors that did a dance. And she was amazing. She was in this poodle skirt. She had a great time. And here's the thing, and you know this as someone that's been on the radio for a long time. We went and we had a table there. We were supporting Nora. And a bunch of people that I didn't know came up to me and said, oh, my God, I listen to you on WGN radio all the time. Your sister-in-law saved my life. And it wasn't one person. It was like half a dozen people who came. And we get all wrapped up in all the things we think that are so important. And I was sitting there with my chest pumped out thinking about the amazing work that my sister-in-law, Nora, and all the people that work with cancer patients all across Chicagoland do. And they can't do it without the financial support of all of us. So for, I mean, you know, the 500 people that listen to you on a daily basis.
John,
$5.
He's not expecting Nora. He's not expecting Nora to write a check to you, is he?
No.
Okay.
No. But my point is that if everybody just gave you $5, you'd have $2,500 before Roe comes on the air. And especially since Bob Westrick is already online right now. Out there, we only have $500.
It's Bob Westrick, a partner at Private Vista. Visit MyPrivateVista.com.
When I come in on Saturday, if I don't see that donation from them on your page on Saturday, I'm going to find a whole new financial services company to donate to your cause.
Fair. Wow. So I guess blackmail was what I was saying. How does
blackmail
Lou do it?
Blackmail for a good cause, John. Blackmail for an amazing cause. 200,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in the U.S. this year, 1 in 8. Yeah. And while it isn't the most egregious of cancers that affect us all, it is something that because of the research and because of the doctors like my sister-in-law, it is becoming diagnosed sooner and women are living longer. And it's one of these things, in my mind, it's low-lying fruit that if we can put the money at it and we can solve this part of the cancer equation, it's only going to help us solve the other parts. So you go dance your little heart out,
yes, sir.
But raise the most money.
Yeah.
And after Bob writes that check from private myprivatevista.com,
yeah,
you can raise your goal to $5,000.
All right. Well, God bless you, Lou. I didn't know you were going to be this good at this.
I love you, John.
By the way, a text has just poured in. Hey, John, Mary Jo, that's a friend of ours, wants to know how to support you in this dance thing. Where can she donate? Right now, the website isn't so easy to find and to drill through, so we've posted a link on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. If you just scroll down, in fact, we'll pin it to the top. At the first dancing video you'll see, there's a link there, and it says donate here, and here is the word, and that'll get you to a place where you can give $5,000 or $5.
I have another question. Who's the company that stuck the thing in your knee that made you be able to play basketball and dance really well?
Joint Relief Institute. Their phone number is 708. That's in Orland Park. 888. You can remember that.
You can remember that.
0000.
They got to be good for $1,000 before the end of the show.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you another day, my friend.
Goodbye.
That's our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. I did not know he was going to do that. Attention, sponsors. I did not know he was going to do that. But I think he's right. Steve, you know, we were talking to Lou, and all kidding aside about my ability to dance or his and his ability to raise money and mine not. Lou was, I think, inspirational and smart about how we can help raise money to fight cancer. That's what that fundraiser is about that I'm in, this Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. And I know not all of you are on Facebook, and it was pointed out to me by a couple of family members and friends, hey, how else can I make a donation? What's the website? It's amdwcc.org. Arthur Murray Dance, AMD, they're the people that are teaching me how to dance. Arthur Murray Dance, that's AMD. And then WCC, Think We Cure Cancer, AMDWCC.org. Arthur Murray Dance, We Cure Cancer. That's what we're trying to do here. AMDWCC.org. And that will take you to the Dancing with the Celebrities page, and you can click on me. It's not that difficult to navigate. You'll find a way. Trust me, they'll find a way to get your money. You'll find a way to make the donation in my name. And I don't know how much I've actually got in there. It says Celebrity Dancers. Here's the Celebrity Dancers. It's Karen Jordan from Channel 7. Lauren Victory from Channel 2, Megan Dwyer from WGN TV, Michelle McMahon from the Big Ten Sports Network and NBC Sports Chicago, Dakari Turner over at Fox, Mike Berman over at Channel 5, Diego Guardo from Univision, and me. So make that donation, huh, kids? That'd really be nice of you. Okay, we've been talking about cool things mankind has done. What's that website again? Arthur Murray Dance, We Cure Cancer, AMDWCC.org.
And when the engine chill is complete.
ASTS is ready for launch.
Ground gas closeouts are complete.
Falcon Heavy is in startup.
Some clapping in the control room. SpaceX launched that
stage 2 present for flight
Falcon Heavy rocket yesterday from the same launch pad that put Apollo 11 on its way to the moon. Just the most amazing thing. The video's on my page, and we're asking for your comment and feedback there too. Writing about it in the Washington Post is Christian Davenport. Hey Christian, it's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What happened yesterday?
Big rocket went to space. As you heard there, it was a Falcon Heavy from SpaceX, which is now the most powerful rocket currently in operation, lifted off from Pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center and put on quite a show. Not only did it, its payload was a Tesla Roadster, a little cross-promotional marketing from Elon for Elon Musk's other company. But the significance of it was that it went out of Earth's orbit, and the payload, the Tesla, is now on its way on an orbit around the sun that could make it go even further than Mars. So that's a really significant feat for a private venture like SpaceX, and not, you know, that NASA and the government wasn't involved in this launch. It was purely SpaceX.
We were also transfixed by the plume, the fire, and the rocket going up, and then, of course, the rocket's landing, that we sort of forget, yeah, there's that vehicle, and it's on its way around the sun, huh?
Yeah, the Roadster is, and you're right, and that's a really key thing. I mean, I think there was a lot of attention paid to the Roadster, and it was beaming back these images from space that were quite extraordinary. While the batteries on the camera were running, you saw this red Roadster with a mannequin that Elon Musk had named Starman, you know, in the driver's seat, and you could see Earth in the background. It was really sort of an amazing image. But those landings were really significant, too, because what they showed was how SpaceX has really disrupted the industry. Instead of throwing away the first stage of rockets, and which is traditionally how it's been done, that the first stage of the rocket powers the second stage into orbit, and then that first stage drops away and gets discarded into the ocean, never to get used again. What SpaceX has done is really perfected the art of returning those boosters back to Earth, flying them down so that they could be reused. And the two side boosters on the Falcon Heavy that launched yesterday had been reflown before, were used in this launch, and then flew back and landed simultaneously, almost as if they were synchronized, back at Cape Canaveral, where they've been recovered and could conceivably be used again.
Is that new technology, or how impressive was that landing?
Oh, it was amazing. It is a new technology that SpaceX has perfected. They've been doing it for a few years now, never with a rocket this heavy. But, you know, if you talk about disrupting the industry and making spaceflight affordable, it's, it has potential to be huge. I mean, as Elon and others have said, imagine if after you took a flight from Chicago to New York, you threw away the airplane after every flight, which is It's not a perfect analogy, but that's kind of what was happening in space, and that's one of the reasons why it's so expensive. They kept throwing away the hardware, and that first stage is really the most important part. It's where all the main rocket engines are. And if you have to build a whole new rocket every single time you fly, it's quite expensive. If you can reuse them, like SpaceX has done, even with its powerful Falcon Heavy rocket, that, you know, could be really significant.
I thought that the money and the people who knew how to do this were employed by the government and they worked for NASA. How is it that a private sector is emerged with the capital and with the staff?
Well, you've got hard-charging people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, who had a lot of their own capital to begin with. When Elon Musk started SpaceX, he put $100 million of his own money into it. Jeff Bezos has put quite a bit more of his own money. His company, Blue Origin, is almost entirely financed by Bezos. And so what you've got are a group of individuals with extraordinary wealth that is able to do things that, you know, previously had only been the province of governments. Now, it should be said that SpaceX, while it's accomplished a lot on its own, it's also done a lot in partnership with NASA that has awarded it billions of dollars in contracts to help it develop its Falcon 9 vehicle, a different rocket than flew the other day. But SpaceX has contracts to fly cargo to the International Space Station, which it's been doing for a number of years now. And as early as this year, it's possible they'll start flying NASA's astronauts to the space station. So there is a public-private partnership that's really helped this industry grow up.
Are they profitable?
SpaceX, it appears, is that it's done quite well. It's got a huge backlog. It not only has the government work and the government contracts, which are worth billions of dollars, it's got contracts from commercial entities to launch satellites, which it does for a number of companies. It flew 18 times last year, which was a record for the company. It wants to fly even more than that. And it's been, SpaceX at least, has been successful. Blue Origin is, you know, still sort of in the early stages. It's just now signing up customers for its big orbital rocket called New Glenn, but it wants to get into the satellite launching game as well. And as to how all this shakes out, I guess we'll see.
Christian Davenport writes for The Washington Post. We're talking about the SpaceX launch yesterday. What's their goal? They don't just want to be a cargo company, though, right? What do they want to do with all of this?
Well, I mean, Elon Musk founded the company with the idea originally to get to Mars. The Falcon Heavy is a step in that direction. It's right now the most powerful rocket currently in operation. The plan initially for Falcon Heavy was to put humans on it, and Elon and SpaceX had talked about doing flying two tourists. He wouldn't name who the two people were, but on a trip that would go around the moon, and they were planning on doing that this year. They've since reversed course, decided not to put humans on the Falcon Heavy. There's a lot of work that needs to go into the development of the rocket to make it human-rated or safe for human spaceflight. Instead, SpaceX is already looking ahead to its, you know, new next-generation rocket, known as the BFR, and that they want to use that to go deeper into space. The Trump administration has talked a lot about going back to the moon. SpaceX certainly wants to be a part of that. But ultimately, what SpaceX's goals is to get humans to Mars. I mean, obviously, that's incredibly difficult and a huge and risky and dangerous challenge. But he's, you know, met some milestones that nobody thought he'd ever make before.
Will the first trip to Mars be one way?
I think that ultimately they want to be able to go there and come back. That's what Elon has said. He's sort of famously joked that he wanted to die on Mars, just not on impact. But no, I think the goal is that that you would go and be able to come back. Now, the difficulties, of course, given how far Mars is from Earth and the orbits, it's really every 26 months that Earth and Mars are aligned to make the trip between them You know, something in the 6 to 8 month range. You know, outside of that window, it can be a lot longer. So once you go, you're going to be there for a fair amount of time. But you know, again, these are, I think, aspirational goals that are many, many years in the future.
And one last thing, though, just since we're on Mars now, Christian, what's the point of that? I mean, what would the value to any of us be if we did go to Mars, send somebody up there for a couple of years, and then 26 months in, they hit a button and hope those rockets work? What would the point be to all of that?
Well, I think you know that people in the industry would answer that a couple of ways. One is if there's the value in exploration and, you know, going to the next unknown, you know, climbing the next mountain, seeing around the next corner. You know, Elon talks a lot about creating sort of a backup plan for humanity, that if anything was to happen to the Earth, he wanted a place for humans to be. In case of, as he says, some extinction event. But on sort of a, you know, a broader view, being going out into space, whether you're on Mars or the moon or an asteroid, there are a lot of resources in space. On asteroids, there are a lot of precious metals that could be used, and there's a lot of talk of going out and using space for its resources instead of just relying on the resources on Earth, which are, of course, limited when you've got, you know, space is really seen as an untapped resource, not just the asteroids and the minerals there, but, you know, just the solar energy that you would get 24/7 all the time. There's no, you know, there's no atmosphere that dilutes it, and there's no sort of dark side, you know, day and night. So I think that's the, you know, and then there are a lot of unknowns that, you know, when you go into space and you're really out there, that, you know, you stumble across things that you didn't know were possible.
Favorite space movie?
Oh, I've got a few. I really like The Martian. That was a lot of fun. That was great.
Just watched Interstellar the other night, and as you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, but what if we got all the way out there? And they go, you know what? It's really not that nice. And you go, oh, crap. So, yeah, The Martian was fun, too. Your writing is really good on this as well. I hope you can join us again, but well done on this story, and thanks for giving us some of your time, Christian.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Christian Davenport writes for The Washington Post, washingtonpost.com. You can't let me depend now. Going back to my mouth. Okay, I got a question. It's 2:53 on WGN. This is John. The question is, no more Elton John, no more Neil Diamond. Neil said he's not going to tour anymore. Elton John said he's not going to tour anymore. If you had a ticket to one of the big three that aren't going to do it anymore, and your choices were Elton or Neil or Paul, I've come to talk with you again. I'm going to send you to one concert. Which is it? Because a vision softly creeping. It's pretty easy for me. Left its seeds while I was sleeping. Britney. And the vision. Now, I'd say if I had to go to one, if I could go to one, I'd go to Paul Simon. Number two for me would probably be Elton John. And then number three would be Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond's fine, but I was never like, oh, my God, Neil Diamond. I'm not from Boston. I haven't been doing that song. Is it the Red Sox games, Kevin, that they all sing the Neil Diamond song?
It is, at Fenway.
Yeah. Is that a good thing? Do you love that? Does everybody love that? That sounds like fun, huh?
Yeah, see, they're into it.
Yeah.
Nothing against it.
If I was there, I think I would do that.
Probably.
When people come to Wrigley, do they get into our singing the seventh inning stretch?
Oh, I think so. I think people absolutely seek that out.
And nobody does it the way they do it at Wrigley, right?
No, of course not.
No, I'm not being a homer here. I mean, literally, if you're in Milwaukee or St. Louis, is it the event that it is in Chicago?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's a spectacle at Wrigley. Everybody gets on their feet. And they do it at other parks. You know, in Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is always like, you know, the second home to Cubs fans. It's always half Cub fans, half Brewers when the Cubs are up there.
Yeah.
And when they do that, it's always a battle of who could yell their
The Brewers.
You know, the Cubs or the Brewers.
They got to hate that, don't they?
Oh,
don't they wish that they were just like another hour and a half north just to keep us away?
Yeah.
It's too damn easy for those Cub fans.
And it's perfect for Cub fans because the tickets are cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot of Cub fans are from the North Shore, North Suburbs anyway.
Some folks, it's shorter. I think it's a quicker drive for Bertrand. Yeah. And then at Blackhawks games, does anybody else in the NHL do the national anthem? Is it the event for them that it is for us?
I think so. I can't think of any other arenas or teams that do that. No. You're talking about the cheering, obviously, during Cornelius.
Right. So I said, is it? And you would say no, that nobody else has a national anthem that is the biggest event of the night as the Blackhawks do.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when we broadcast from there, which we'll be there tomorrow, it's funny. People, like, run because, like, we can't
totally
miss the anthem.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're going to spend that kind of money to go see the Blackhawks, that's a major part of the night, is not missing the anthem.
I bring friends to Blackhawks games sometimes. I get tickets now and then, and some of them really aren't hockey fans. They will go to the box or the booth or get their seat, and then they'll go somewhere else for the game. You know, but they love the whole damn thing. They do it well.
Chills every time, right?
It hasn't failed.
I mean, you could go to every single home game. You will get chills.
Has Cornelison ever missed a note? Has he ever not nailed that thing? I bet I've seen him do it literally in person 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than that. I've never seen him miss it. I don't know. Maybe you have.
No, neither have I.
Every time for me.
I mean, I've seen him do it at charity events and things like that. Yeah. You know, on a random weekday morning, and he knocks it out of the park.
What about when the flag waves? Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they have that imagery now, where they project it on the ice. Is that what you're talking about, Violetta? The way they actually make it look like a flag on the ice?
No, they actually bring a big flag out? And then it starts waving.
Like on cue, you mean?
Yeah.
During Blackhawks games?
No.
During the national anthem.
No.
It's not always waving. I mean, it's hanging in the rafters of the United Center.
No, you guys have to check it out next time.
Okay,
they put some fans on it.
Okay.
They do.
Really? No, I'm not laughing. I was laughing, actually.
You're probably right.
Of course I'm right. Okay. Everyone waits for that moment other than you two.
I didn't even notice the flag waving.
Yeah,
I was
okay. I'm getting it in my other ear now. It's true. Yeah, they do that now.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at the ice, not at the screen. I actually haven't paid enough attention to that part of it. Ronan in the studio. What are you guys doing this afternoon, kids?
Hey, John.
Well, there's. I don't know if you noticed, there are things happening. Actually, you know, to me, the story that I am most concerned about right now, and mm-hmm. there's plenty of them in Washington, but I realize I can't control any of that. So what I can control, I have a better chance of controlling, is the weather. And that is going to be very, very, very bad over the next couple of days. And Tom Skilling will tell us all about it coming up at 4:10.
4:10. So if you're traveling or got folks flying in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're just going to drive to Grandma's house.
And if we have to hunker down, we have the kids from Binny's coming in at 6 o'clock.
Great.
Yeah, I heard that on your promo.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
And they're going to be doing, and we got.
What are you guys drinking?
I don't know.
Kind of chocolate-infused liqueur.
Nice.
Is one of the options.
Yeah,
it's Valentine's Day prep. You know,
I
a little dark
it.
Chocolate
yeah.
and
it's
can't go wrong.
Yeah, a little, yeah. So we got that. And we also have Andrew Salgado. He's going to unveil his new single.
He's so good.
With us. He's a
dreaming.
Great Chicago native, now Nashville-based pop country guy.
Is he in studio for this?
He will be in studio for this, yes. We started him, so he owes us everything.
Ro discovered him.
Yeah. This is on the way up. This is on the way up. They're great. Once they get to the top, they never talk to us
Who?
Again. And we see them again on the way back down. That's how that always works.